Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel of Holland.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice.
Reading the second stanza of the song that we're about to sing. Out of my shameful failure and loss, Jesus, I come, Jesus, I come, into the glorious gain of thy cross, Jesus, I come to thee. Out of her sorrows, into thy balm, out of her storms, and into thy calm, out of distress, to a jubilant psalm, Jesus, I come to thee. Listen again to that third line, into the glorious gain of the cross.
Jesus, I come.
Reading today from John, the Gospel of John, chapter 3, beginning at verse 13, reading through verse 21. And no man hath ascended up to heaven but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Let's pray that God will make us come to the truth, the whole truth of God's word, bringing us both to repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Father, we come to thee through Christ, the new and living way, the only door into thy presence of love and reconciliation. We pray, Father, in his name that thou wilt teach us from these words, that we might believe the truth, that we might receive the truth, and we might, through Christ, be saved by the truth, even him who is the way, the truth, and the life. We pray, Father, this for ourselves. We pray it for others. We pray it for all of the world, Jew and Gentile. We pray, Father, that soon all the ends of the earth may hear and fear and turn unto thee, as thou hast given that description and promise by the pen of the psalmist. We pray, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, also for the temporal needs that are there for many, some in hunger, homeless, war-torn lands, the broken homes, the sick, the injured, the sorrowing, the older age, the children especially in the broken homes. We pray, Father, for the needs in government, our leaders. We pray especially that thou put thy fear in their hearts, that they might have the beginning of wisdom, and we as a people as well, all through Christ, in whose name we give thanks. Amen. Continuing to consider these words of the Lord Jesus to Nicodemus, the Pharisee who came to Jesus by night, he who was a master of Israel. The Lord Jesus says, if he was such, and knowest not these things. Yes, we can be masters, we can be reverends, we can be pastors, we can be doctors of divinity, and not know these things. I have the life of many that after they have preached for some time came to see that they never had really believed in a right need what they were preaching. And thankfully, many have come to know that need in repentance and come to have that need met in Christ. Nicodemus was evidently one of them, as we saw a couple of weeks ago. He was one that protested when they were condemning Christ, telling their officers to take him. And when they came without him, they said, never a man spoke like this. And Nicodemus spoke up and asked if it was right to judge a man without hearing him. And they sort of mocked Nicodemus and said, art thou of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee cometh no prophet. They showed there their ignorance, because Isaiah in chapter 9 speaks of the prophet coming out of Galilee. And the Lord Jesus did. And he spent much time in that northern part of the land of those 10 tribes, especially, as well as the lower part of the 2 tribes of Judah and Benjamin. And here he is preaching the gospel to Nicodemus. He had told him that he had to be born again. He had told him that he had to be born of water and the Spirit. He told him that that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And what a great difference. What is born of the Spirit is of God, a perfect, holy Spirit can come into us and teach us. And even as Christ said, he will lead into all truth. He will take the things of mine and show them to you. Also, he gives that description of reproving and rebuking, convicting of sin because we did not believe on the Lord Jesus. He will do all of that. There's nothing good in the flesh. Nothing. Paul said, in my flesh there dwelleth no good thing. Paul also writes to the church at Rome that those that are in the flesh cannot please God. What a difference. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, sin. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit, holiness. It will make us to do the right thing in our relationship to God when the Spirit is given, when he comes. He is needed. Without him, we are dead in sin. Paul, writing to one of the churches, stated, "You hath he quickened together with Christ," as we saw last week, "and made to sit in heavenly places." Here we read in verse 12, we didn't read it today, but last week, this third chapter, he said, "If I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things?" Heavenly things for sinners, made to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, as Paul described that blessing to the church at Ephesus in the second chapter. But now he's coming to the gospel. First of all, giving it in type, as was already there in the Old Testament. There were numerous types of the gospel. There were all the sacrifices, and of which, after they had been offered through all those years, when John the Baptist came, he could say, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." There were sacrifices continually offered, but there was one time particularly that happened, as we read here, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." There was a time when Israel murmured, when they complained, they sinned against God, against Moses as well. And God sent fiery serpents among them. Many died. And then God told Moses to make a brazen serpent to put it up on a pole. And he says, as many as would look at that serpent would be healed. Now the Lord Jesus is using that both to teach Nicodemus and us. Listen to those words again. "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness." I'm sure Nicodemus knew exactly what the Lord Jesus was describing. That was their history. Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. He put it up on that pole, that brazen serpent. And then he said, "Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." We sang those words that I read and then repeated, the glorious gain of the cross. The Lord Jesus suffering, dying on that cross, is your and my gain if we believe it. If we believe it, we will not perish. Twice the Lord Jesus speaks here of perishing. Once when he gave that description of what was the type of Christ, Moses lifting up the serpent, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That picture was there, the Old Testament. That picture was there in Scripture as it was written down, that history of Israel. Nicodemus could read it in his time. The Lord Jesus said to him, as that took place, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. He'll be lifted up on the cross. The Lord Jesus would speak of that numerous times. He had to suffer, die, buried, rise again. He also stated, chapter 12 of the Gospel of John, verse 32, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. Yes, you and I need to be drawn to Christ on the cross. It is coming to that cross that we can be saved, that we will not perish. As Christ lifted up on the cross, as Moses lifted up the serpent, those that believe will not perish. He is really describing a perishing audience, a perishing people. And he says, if there are those out of that whole number that believe, they will not perish. The rest will. And not only that, all of us are perishing until we believe. We read in verse 18 of this chapter, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Though some might say, well, I believed in him all my life. I believed in him as long as I could remember. In a historic sense, that may be true. Some of us grew up in our childhood. We heard the story of the birth of the Lord Jesus, of his miracles, of his teachings, of his death and his resurrection. And we believed it as a historic fact. But that does not mean that we received him, as the first chapter of John describes. Chapter 1, verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them who believe on his name. We become the sons and the daughters of God in believing. Just before that, John wrote, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. And then, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. We stop believing in our own name. We stop believing that we can please God. We begin believing that we are guilty before God. We're perishing because of it. And the Lord Jesus said that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have eternal life. Only God knows how many I'm speaking to that believe these things historically, but are still perishing sinners. I believed it historically, very, very much. If anybody would have told me I didn't believe the Bible, I would have said, you don't know what you're saying. I believe it from cover to cover. And as a historic fact, I did. But not from the standpoint of being a perishing sinner. That did not take place till I was 28. Then I found out I was perishing because of my sin, and I had not believed on the Lord Jesus for that very purpose. It's hard to even understand how we can believe about his death, his resurrection, and not have that rightly abide in our sinful need until we see that we are lost, perishing. It's completely different. We can even, as I've often said, have enough of the truth to make us proud. I believe it. I believe the truth. I know the truth. We may know the truth about Christ dying, but not the truth about ourselves, worthy of death, perishing. That must come together. And we may believe it came together for Nicodemus there. Then the Lord Jesus gives another part of the message. We could call another way of giving the gospel. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Again, should not perish but have everlasting life. As I said before, the Lord Jesus gives this twice. Shall not perish. Possibly, One of the things that's lacking when we have a historic faith is that we do believe that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, but we don't rightly think about it as the Lord Jesus here said it to Nicodemus. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Yes, we keep the remembrance of his death on what we call Good Friday. We have the following Sunday, the day of resurrection. We go through those days of remembrance. But do we begin thinking in those ways as lost sinners? I'm lost. What did Christ do when God gave his only begotten Son and sent him into the world? He said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. He also gave the comparison in a way of type. They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. He is saying the healthy person doesn't need a physician or a doctor, only those that are sick. That's the way we have to learn spiritually, that we are sick, that we are sinful, that we need the great physician, the Lord Jesus Christ. We need the Savior so that we no longer are perishing sinners. Only when we have received him, as the Lord Jesus here spoke earlier about being born of the Spirit, John also describes that in the first chapter that we read the 12th verse from. In the 13th verse, John gives much the same message as the Lord Jesus gave to Nicodemus earlier about the new birth, being born again. Listen to the 13th verse. Who were born, not of blood, not by our parents or our inheritance, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Born of God's Spirit, those are the ones that received Christ. With Nicodemus, the Lord Jesus said it first. Here John is telling us first that we have to receive him, have to know that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Receiving him, we can become children of God. And then he gives the picture of the new birth. It did not come from our parents. It did not come from our own will, but of God. God, the Holy Spirit. God, the one who planned it and sent his Spirit to give the new birth and to give the teaching. The Lord Jesus here is really, to Nicodemus, a prophet, particularly up to this time. Now he's presenting himself as the priest, the one to bear his sin, the one to intercede for him before God. What the priest did, the Lord Jesus will do. Only the priest offered sacrifices, but the Lord Jesus was himself that sacrifice. Yes, as all those animals were sacrificed, the Lord Jesus would lay down his life. He would be lifted up on the cross till he died. That shameful death, being forsaken of man and also forsaken of God, crying out on that cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Do you know why God forsook Christ? Do you know that it was because of you? And if you had been the only one in the world, that would have had to been done for you, as it had to be done for me, and every other one who will not perish, who will, instead of perishing, be saved. Yes, we must be saved. Some people don't like to hear that term. We like to think, well, I just always was a child of God. Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. That's his message. That's his work. That's what he did on the earth, and that's what he is still doing now. I will build my church. He will do through his Spirit and by his word what he said here, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And all through the scripture, the messages, the warning, when Christ described some who had been killed by Pilate and some on a tower fell, he said, "Think you that they were sinners above others? I tell you nay, except you repent, you will likewise perish." Yes, perish in our sin. We have to repent in such a way that we admit we are sinners. It's not just getting better, not just doing better things. There's more to repentance than that. It's knowing how sinful we are. Paul writes it in Romans chapter 3, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world become guilty before God. All the world. Some people like to say, well, what about men like Cornelius? We're studying that right now in another Bible study. And he gave much alms. He prayed. He fasted. It was recognized. But he was told to send for Peter, who would tell him words by which he could be saved. Part of the story is in Acts chapter 10. The rest of the story is in chapter 11. When he rehearses that he had to hear words to be saved by them. And then later, the Jews didn't like it that Peter went there. And when the summary was given of that whole visit, they concluded that then hath God unto the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. He had to hear the word. He had to be saved. He also had to repent. And God gave repentance to life, to Christ. That's what repentance does. Takes us away from trusting in self to trusting in Christ, who is alone the life. Alone. Without me, he said, you can do nothing. He also said, except you eat of my body and drink of my blood, you have no life in you. That's what we must do, looking at the cross. Again, those words that we sang. Out of my shameful failure and loss, Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come. Into the glorious gain of the cross, Jesus, I come to thee. Have you done that way? Shameful loss, gain of the cross.
To God be the glory.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship.
Praise the Lord.